This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, John Griffin. John, welcome to the show. Appreciate the time as always.
Steve, thanks for having me on. I was just thinking, I feel like growing up in Philadelphia, I feel like this is my own version of WIP after an Eagles game on a Sunday, or if you're a Steelers fan, whatever you are in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm an Eagles fan. WIP, Nick Sirianni, it was Andy Reid, Chip Kelly. They'd get on the phone and they'd talk about the game and the season. And you've made me feel very professional, Steve, so thank you.
Well, that's because you deserve to feel that way. You've earned it. Let's talk about the game with Colgate. The American game, marvelous performance. And then you carried it over for such a long period of time at a tough place to play. What did your team show you last week?
Yeah, I mean, they showed what type of people they are. So basketball is an interesting game, sports. In general, they really kind of bring out the best in you because it's such a competitive atmosphere. And I've been talking about it kind of throughout the entire year, how resilient and open-minded this particular group that I'm coaching has been. And for the last, leading up to Colgate, but even leading into the first round or quarterfinals at American, for the three games, we've played hard defense, we've been competitive, we've been physical, and most importantly, we've been connected. So you saw that carry into American, where we were poised possession by possession. Yeah. And that belief carried right up to Hamilton. And unfortunately, but we knew it was going to be a close game regardless of the score in the first half. We knew it was going to be a possession by possession game. And there was two shots that just didn't go in that, would have been nice. But we were right there. I'm really proud of our group. And it's something that we'll be able to rely on going forward.
This particular group, you talked about their learning process. When did you get a sense that this was a, quote, coachable group that understand the proper corrections and not just criticism, and also understood what was going right?
You know what? It's been a learning process for me. Our season, it's kind of broken down into different phases, and each phase has been something new for the group, it's been something new for me, it's been something new for our staff, and then we either correct it or build upon it. And they've always been, from day one, open-minded and coachable, and then trying to carry over what's being taught is probably the biggest challenge in the game as it relates to the coaching aspect of it. You're trying to get your group to carry over what you teach them in practice to a game. And it often doesn't happen to perfection, and you still have to make some instinctive decisions within the gray area of the game. And while doing that, you have to be competitive and you have to really hold on to your pillars. And for us, there were defensive rebounding and transition defense, both in which were challenged repeatedly in the second half against Colgate. And I thought we did a pretty decent job throughout that last 20 minutes of holding our ground. But from day one, they've been locked in. And when you lose a game like that, Steve, the way we just lost it, it accelerates this culture. It accelerates your idea of culture. Because now as a coach and as a staff, we don't have to preach what it could have been. They feel it in their soul, in their heart, of what they just experienced, and they don't want to experience that again. And so in order not to experience it again, you're going to have to work every day to put yourself in position again and then overcome that obstacle.
What was it like for you to go into that locker room and have to talk to them after an awesome effort but not quite achieving the goal that you wanted?
Yeah, it's a good question. All I thought about was the 14 young men in the locker room. I've been blessed as a former basketball player to reach some of the pinnacles of this sport not for one day since I've been hired has this job been about me. It's all about these young men. And I just wanted to let them know that as a staff, as the head coach, my first go around, how appreciative I am for their effort, and to let them know that they have now set the groundwork for the future. That's their legacy. We have three seniors, and it has not been an easy 4 years for them, COVID being one, and Jack Forrest transferred in and out, and they just played an incredibly meaningful game that was watched by so many Bucknell fans, supporters, alums, administrators, and they elevated the energy levels of a university, and I just am very proud to be a part of that group, and I was just wanted to let them know that they have something to be very, very happy about as it relates to what they've done and accomplished in a very short time.
Now, you went toe-to-toe in the center of the ring against the team that's been the last few years setting a standard, and I think you showed them that, by the way, there's somebody else here in town that's going to challenge them. I think in the end, that's what I think what I took out of watching that game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I took out of it. Like, you know, you want to win, but I'm thinking to myself, they're in the center of the ring, and Colgate's looking around, going, "Okay, these guys are really good." I mean, and that's what I took out of it.
Yeah, that was part of the message too. Throughout the course of the year, again, being that I'm from Philly, I've shown the team a lot of Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, soundbites. And he was a masterful competitor. And sometimes the soundbites resonate with young people more than a coach preaching what they think is competitiveness. And one of the soundbites that we showed going into Colgate was, we're not ducking anybody in the Patriot League. And that's been the message from the moment I've been hired. But it's one thing coming from the coach's mouth and almost like a teacher preaching mathematics, and then finally the students understand how to get to that end result. And in that moment, in that locker room yesterday, on their faces you could see sadness, which is warranted because of the effort that these young people put in these days. I mean, it's all day, every day. And then also a level of energy related to, okay, this is the expectation going forward, but now we're here. And what I'm most proud of is, you know, I didn't know when that time would come.
Sure.
Where they felt it, where the players felt it, and then yesterday was the moment. So unfortunately, it comes with a loss. I would rather have experienced it with a win.
No question. Now, John, we hit the off season. Interesting spot. It gets to the point where at the coaches' convention now, people will go for maybe a day and then they'll come back because they feel they need to be around their teams because, you know, you have talent. And not only do you have talent, but you have talent that you've developed and cultivated. Do you feel like, beginning like now or even during the season, that you're constantly re-recruiting that talent?
Re-recruiting is an interesting word. I think that if you are a relationship-driven human being, you know, you could argue that that is your own version of re-recruiting, where you spend time with people off the floor.
That's right.
And help them develop as young men. That's a major part of the quote-unquote re-recruiting. For us, no. I mean, we've been going at this since July because we went to Italy. So I think everybody needs a little bit of a break. I think the players need a little bit of a break from us. I think they need a little bit of a break from the game. There's a mental health element of this game that is very serious and very real, and I think everyone needs to take a step away and just start to rejuvenate and replenish their minds and spirit, and then we'll get back after it when the time is right. But we have a good group coming back, and we have two young sophomores that played over 30 minutes yesterday, and I know that in their heart and their soul, they want to get back to that point.
What did the fans that made the repeated trips to Soika this year mean to your program?
Oh, man, Steve, that is what's most exciting to me about the way the season ended is the energy in Soycorp Pavilion. I'm so grateful to the fans. We have so many loyal season ticket holders that show up game in and game out, win or lose. They're all about our players. I mean, they are just energy givers. And I just, on your show, I'm going to use it here to just say thank you. You know, thank you, Steve, for this every Monday. But thank you to all the loyal season ticket holders, all the fans that come to Soica, to our luncheons, that travel to American. We had a great showing at American.
Yeah.
All of our alums. I'm not Deion Sanders, so I'm not going to say, like, we're coming. But I'm going to say that certainly Bucknell basketball is where it needs to be right now.
And I think that is as accurate a statement as you can make. I mean, you know, that's 1 year in the book. How important is it for you? You just talked about the players just a little bit of time. I know you're in constant evaluation mode, but, John, is there a decompression for you at this point while still being in that mode that just allows you to sit back and really reflect about what you want to do and anything subtly you want to change moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of just entering that phase right now, day after. Right now, my mind is repeating the last 2 minutes of yesterday.
Yeah, sure it is.
It's like on a cycle. Every kind of decision, every word that came out of my mouth is on repeat. But then once that kind of fades, yeah, there's a lot that I've learned throughout the course of the year. I have a great staff. I'm blessed with high-energy, relationship-driven, innovative people. All four of my staff members at some point in time will be head coaches because of their approach to the game. And so we'll get back to the drawing board. I've learned a lot about what's effective, what's ineffective, what's efficient, what's inefficient. And then ultimately, my strength in this is helping players improve their skills. And that's going to be such a large focus of our offseason, and just helping guys on our team improve their strengths, improve their weaknesses, maybe bring some new skill set to the table, and get them ready to go and make it fun for them.
Next part, too, is they also see the kind of person you are. Family means a lot. During this first season as a head coach, what has that family meant to you? And what does it mean to the program that they're around all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you listen to coaches when they're receiving awards, you're going to hear it repeatedly. They often thank their wives first.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have
oh,
to
yeah.
have you have to have somebody that essentially has your back at all moments, doesn't talk about the game every day, loves you unconditionally. I have that. My wife is she's the head coach of our house. I'm an assistant at home. That's a fact.
you are screaming to the choir.
I'll tell you, my wife scored more points in college and in high school than me, so she was a much better player. We have three amazing boys. They're wild, and she somehow survives their energy, and I'm just truly blessed. Truly blessed to be in the position I'm in, and I have my brother on staff with his wife,
and
we have another assistant, Brandon McDonald. His wife and his children are just like so loving and outgoing, and ultimately building a program. And Steve, it's great you brought this point up. You want, everyone talks about family. It's a little cliche in the world of sports, because sometimes you don't get to know someone that well. So in order to call them family, you have to kind of get to know them. But also, we're teaching young men here how to be fathers, you know, how to be uncles, how to be adult in the world. And part of that at some point in some of these young people's lives is having children, getting married, and you have a responsibility. And when you bring your family around, and I was a coach's son, you bring your family around, you bring your wife around, and they see the interaction. It's just very healthy, but also exposes them to, you know, what life could be like.
I hope you don't mind from time to time during the off season we call upon you once or twice to talk about how things are going, because I thoroughly enjoy the conversations.
We got Mark Madness coming up, so if you need me for any like thoughts, I mean, all I know is I've been a part of a game where we've won. That's all I can tell you.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take you up on that offer. Why not? Enjoy the conversation. I know it takes time out of your day, but I enjoy the conversation of my day. So I appreciate you. John, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. Boy, did they put on a show yesterday. And boy, did they play their best basketball. The really good teams, you know, you can tell how a team is going, right? They're the ones that play their best at the end. Those are the ones that improve from day one to whatever day it happens to be. Are they playing their best down the stretch? John Griffin's Bucknell basketball team met that standard. They played their best basketball down the stretch. That tells you a lot about the players, but it tells you about the development and the job that the staff did. Impressive.